Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
We are certainly aware of a recent string of attacks against Christians from Iraq to Egypt to Nigeria.
I'm not some kind of a psychic, so I want everybody to understand that, but I ask God for direction, and He very graciously gives it to me from time to time.
I think you can expect tremendous material coming from the mainstream press this year focusing on the Democrats have learned their lesson and they're going to try to get religion again.
I don't know where we got this. He hates sin but loves the sinner. He damns sinners. And were it not for Christ, that would be the last word. That would be all there is.
Indiana truck drivers love issues, etc.
Well, it might be a question that doesn't come up very often in some circles, if you think about it. How your pastor appears on Sunday morning. Maybe he puts on his best polo shirt. Not the polo shirt you see him wearing when you drive by the house and see him cleaning out the garage. Maybe a better one, a better pair of khaki pants. Maybe he wears a suit and a tie. Who knows? But he doesn't look really any different than anyone else there in the church, at least in the way that he is dressed. This is often by design. That is, pastor, one of the people, just another ordinary Joe. And then you could walk into some churches. They seem old-fashioned, anachronistic, quaint, where the pastor on Sunday morning actually stands out in some ways. At least his clothes do. Because no one dresses like that anymore. A long robe, maybe a stole, like a long scarf that goes over his shoulders, and maybe even fancier vestments than that. Why is he dressed that way? Why have traditionally those who occupy the pastoral office, when they're discharging the duties of that office on Sunday morning, dressed and vested the way that they do? We're going to answer that question here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon, January the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor John Solberger will be our guest for the first half hour. In the second half hour, Pastor Thomas Messer joins us. We'll talk about the Old Testament Feast of Weeks. No, it doesn't take weeks, but it is a feast in the Old Testament observed by God's people and one that foreshadows and foretells its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest. We'll talk about a new survey of abortion rates in the U.S. Then we'll spend the better part of that second hour of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 11th of January, with Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn. Two issues. The Jesus of Bill O'Reilly and Stephen Colbert, they've been sparring back and forth over how Jesus would decide certain social issues, especially social welfare. And then we'll talk about a TV ad featuring a pastor who replaces the bread and wine of communion with, yes, Doritos and Pepsi Max. Shane Rosenthal in about 90 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or you can leave us your thoughts on Shane Rosenthal's latest blog on the Jesus of Bill O'Reilly and Stephen Colbert at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor John Solberger is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, Why Do Pastors Wear Vestments? John, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here. Good afternoon.
Tell us the story that really, in a lot of ways, even in the asking of the question, answers the question, why do pastors dress the way they do?
Well, it's an interesting story. I hadn't been here too long as pastor here at Emmanuel, and I was walking from my study over to the sanctuary through the narthex, and one of our 7-year-old members was standing there, a little boy, and he looked straight at me and stared at me the whole way I was coming across the narthex. So I said good morning to him and addressed him by name. And he said, he didn't even respond to my good morning. He just looks me dead in the eye and says, why are you wearing those God clothes, Pastor? And the reason it was such a good question, like you say, is really because it answers itself. They really are God-clothes, those vestments you mentioned earlier just a couple of minutes ago, Todd, because they are really meant to hide the man so that it can be all about Christ and what he's giving.
Let's talk about, for those who may not even be familiar with what we're talking about, I mean, their pastor's in a polo shirt and khaki pants, or maybe a suit and tie, who knows, but they don't know what they're looking at when they see someone vested, as we say. What does it look like?
Right. Well, it can take a couple of different forms, but generally, your basic vestments include usually something that is called an alb, A-L-B. It's a loose-fitting white garment that goes over the pastor. Alb is actually the Latin word for white, and this alb is traditionally white because it shows us that the purity of Christ. It can also remind everyone in the congregation that they wear a robe of righteousness as they are washed clean of their sins in Christ's shed blood. Another thing they're going to see is something called a stole, and it's a colored piece of fabric of various width that goes over the shoulders of the pastor and then in the two panels down the front. That in the Lutheran church and other historic churches is the mark of ordination. And ordination really means this for the people sitting in the pews on Sunday morning. It's why they see their pastor wear the stole. It's because this is about Christ. When the pastor is ordained, he is to speak not his opinions. He is to not have his own slant and curve on things. He is to speak Christ's word in its purity. He has to give the people the sacraments the way that Jesus gave them to the church, the way that he instituted them. And so these are really marks for the congregation. They're not really for the pastor, although I know when I wear my vestments, it helps me to remember I'm not there for Solberger. I'm there to give Christ, as I've been commanded to do. But for the congregation, Todd, it really shows them this is an objective, trustworthy word and sacrament that we are receiving today, because it's not about the personality or the strengths or the charisma of the guy up front. It's about Jesus.
Does it help at all to think of it as, in essence, a uniform? That is, the other vocations that we uniform so that we know who they are and what they're doing, and in some way recognize the authority that goes along with all of that. Police officers, the military, there's rife with symbolism in all those uniforms as well. The average Joe expects his local police officer to wear his uniform, understands implicitly what that's all about, might balk at the pastor doing the same. Do you think that helps at all?
I think it can be helpful if you remember to understand it this way. I mean, if I'm in trouble, if I've been in an accident or I need safety or assistance, and I see that man, that policeman or the policewoman in a uniform walking toward me, there is an objective sense that I know exactly what that person is here for, that he or she has been trained to do it, and I can let go of a lot of reservations at that point, because this uniformed person coming at me, I know exactly who they are and what they are prepared to do. Now, even more so for the pastor wearing vestments, there's even more objectivity, because Christ really, even as much as Christ would stand behind the police officer or the soldier or whoever wears a uniform, indeed he does in their calling. But in the pastor's calling, it's even more so, because it has even less to do about the pastor, who is the man, than it does the policeman, who is the man. I mean, we're all fallible, but Christ promises through the pastoral office to do things as he would do. His word does what he says it will, despite the man. Even more so than a police officer, perhaps. You know that you can count on Christ being there, and you're not distracted by the human being who is your pastor when he is in vestments. So there's an objective sense to uniforms all over, and vestments, even more so than others perhaps, does fall into that.
Why is it, especially in the case of the pastor, important that the man be covered, or that you could even go so far as to say to hide the man himself?
Right. Well, we remember John the Baptizer's words in John's Gospel in the third chapter, where he was telling his disciples and steering them away from himself toward Jesus, because he had prepared the way, John had, and now it was time to follow Christ. And John says those very famous words, "He, Christ, must increase, but I must decrease." And every pastor who is called and ordained to serve a congregation who is the Lord's, should really recite those words before he steps out into any chancel or altar area, before the divine service, before worship, because really it cannot be about me. And the ironic thing, Todd, is that pastors who are sometimes criticized, or vestments that are criticized for being too showy or too flashy, they attribute that to the pastor wanting to be showy or flashy. But really, one effective way of ensuring that the pastor decreases and Christ increases is vestments. There's no expensive suits or fancy silk ties. There's no, on the other end of things, casual blue jeans and T-shirts, because either side of that, the suit or the jeans, are going to point to the man. But vestments hide the man so that Christ is not obscured. It's a more objective way of bringing forth Christ than anything individually we could ever do as people.
We're talking with Pastor John Sulberger. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, "Why Do Pastors Wear Vestments?" When we come back, 10 more minutes with him. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. After 10 more minutes with Pastor Sulberger, Pastor Thomas Messer will join us. We'll walk through the Old Testament history and fulfillment of the Feast of Weeks. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, January the 11th. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pop spirituality teaches you to look inside yourself. True spirituality teaches you to look outside yourself to the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child. You can purchase Lutheran Spirituality by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, Lutheran Spirituality.
Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click Support. Good questions, better answers, Issues Etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about why pastors wear vestments. Pastor John Sulberger is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, January the 11th. John, how would you respond to someone who says, look, I understand the point you're trying to make with the vestments, but it creates a barrier in our culture. People don't understand what they're seeing, and therefore it goes back to kind of the archaic thing. It looks old-fashioned. It's inscrutable. How would you respond to that cultural barrier argument?
Well, there are a couple of responses, and I suppose the first one would have to be, if that's what you think, are you willing to learn why the vestments are where they are? I know they seem to be a barrier, but that's only because they're not explained. We don't understand what they're for. And the discussion we had previous to the break would very simply describe that the divine service is unlike any other environment or setting that we find ourselves in. It's where heaven meets earth. It cannot be about the human things. Everything, not just the vestments the pastor wears, but everything in church is really intended to be otherworldly, that is, heavenly. And if things aren't as they seem, we really shouldn't see them as barriers, but as, for lack of a better term, special or more unusual than our in a better way than our everyday lives are here in this fallen world. The other way that I would respond to them is that if there's a barrier there that the vestments are causing for someone, perhaps that's a blessing in disguise. God's forgiveness, life, and salvation should never, ever be received as if they were from the pastor himself. You know, how friendly he is, how good a speaker he is, how well he held the communion wafer up in front of you as he gave it to you. It should never, ever be about those things. And the vestments benefit, as we said earlier, both the pastor and the receivers of Christ's gifts through the pastor, that this is not the drive-through of the local McDonald's. This is not a seminar or a conference in the business sector. These are holy things going on here, and the vestments really, really enforce that and strengthen that reality in a very special way.
I wonder, why do you think it is that, and this is especially true among Christians, I think, because unbelievers look at a pastor vested and they say, well, that's just those crazy pastor's dress. Unbelievers are the ones who tend to be offended by it. I mean, genuinely offended. And yet, if they see the Supreme Court justices assemble as a group vested in black, they think nothing of it. They see a king, the Queen of England. She's got an ermine stole on or something like that. That's
right.
How queens ought to dress. Because those people are doing something special. Those people are doing something really important. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we recognize the earthly things and their importance very easily. But Christ has chosen the simple, hidden things in which to do the most wonderful things ever, being forgiven, receiving life everlasting after deserving nothing but death and condemnation forever. We're willing to give what we can see and understand and touch and feel, even at certain things, a certain authority over us, and therefore the Supreme Court justice or the royalty that we see in our various cultures here on earth. We get that, and we're willing to have that have a certain say over us in life. Pastors are misunderstood. The pastor who emphasizes his ordination is not trying to make it about himself, although that's usually how he's criticized. A pastor who emphasizes ordination, and he does so with vestments, is really saying, no, this is nothing about me. I have to trust in Christ. And when we see the vestments on a pastor and we're afraid to accord him the authority, I believe it's because we don't understand what he's giving. We don't understand the depth and the height and the richness of what these gifts that Christ gives through the vested pastor. But if they would understand that the man is not the source, the pastor is not the source of these gifts, but he is a vehicle, a simple tool through which these are given. You know, we have chalices that are silver-lined and gold-lined, and we have beautiful places of worship. We don't do all this to exalt any of ourselves, hopefully. We do this to use the finest things we have to honor the God who comes to us, even in his body and blood, even in the things that he says, these will forgive, these will restore, these will lift you up to life everlasting. And that is why the pastor's vestments are sometimes made of some very nice materials. They are beautiful in a very real sense, but it's not for any human showiness. It is to respect. It's the same reason, I think, that people, especially in past years, have wanted to dress a little nicer to go to church. Hopefully it was never to impress the people who were there, but it was to show honor and thanksgiving to God for his undeserved salvation that he so fully and richly has given.
Can it be this simple, perhaps, from the pastor sitting with that question hanging in the air, why do you dress like that, Pastor, that for him to realize, at least for himself, that what he might be really answering is a question about what is actually happening on Sunday morning, how someone views the importance, the gravity, the necessity of what God does on Sunday morning through his word and sacraments, may help answer that question. I mean, the question of vestments may disappear if someone really understands what Sunday morning's all about.
Yeah, it really becomes a non-issue when you understand that we are there, first and foremost, as beggars and receivers, sinners in need of peace with God, that is, sins forgiven and life restored. And I think we're seeing a resurgence in that in the historic churches, especially in the Lutheran end of that apostolic doctrine that's being reemphasized in our divine services and our times of worship, that we're about being receivers. Church is seen by too many as something we do. Pastor's doing something for us, we're doing something for God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The functional roles of both pastor and people in worship really aren't beneficial for understanding what is happening and that death is being turned to life by the goodness of Christ who comes to his people. And when we see the pastor as merely a vehicle for that, and that's why he's vested, and the people as receivers, and that's why they can rejoice and forget about the petty things like, why is the guy wearing a robe? Then I think we're on the right track.
Does it also explain kind of lesser questions about why the pastor might wear a collar rather than a tie, or why the rest of the church on Sunday morning is appointed the way it is, where we just don't have a table, we have a table that is set aside for one purpose, and usually vested itself, so to speak.
Indeed. I mean, and oftentimes you'll find that churches who vest their altars, the paraments, the colored cloths for the church season that go over the altar and the pulpit and the lectern, really even match in the same design and material as the pastor's vestments, especially his stole or other vestments he might wear. But as far as the pastor wearing a collar, yeah, when I am not... conducting the divine service or a prayer office here in my home parish, and I'm going to the hospital to visit one of my people who's hospitalized and sick or injured, when I walk on that hospital floor, the nurses, who I know what they're doing because they're wearing a uniform, know exactly what the guy in the collar is doing who just showed up, and the person in the bed doesn't have to, even in their weakened condition, wonder who has come to stand and pray at their bedside. They know who it is. And so it all becomes about the gifts being given and the things that Jesus is doing. When we can understand the whys of clerical collars or vestments or paraments on the altar, these things all have a great tradition, if you look back into the Old Testament, of going back to the temple worship and before that the tabernacle. Even the tabernacle that moved around with God's people all the time, it was mobile. Even there, they had the same things that we find in pastors and in sanctuaries and places of worship today.
Then with only about 30 seconds, Pastor Sulberger, if a congregation and a pastor abandon these things because, well, for whatever reason, but usually it's done to be more culturally relevant and seeker-sensitive, what are they missing out on?
Well, they're missing out on heaven and eternity. They are being relevant to the world, and quite frankly, they are being relevant to something that is dying and will most definitely pass away. It may be less controversial to some. It may be easier. But actually, it's less peaceful. It's less comforting. when we allow our pastors and our people and our places of worship to be honored with Christ's presence and heaven coming down to earth, then we know there's something there that will be forever. There's something there that's lasting and sure. It is perfect. It's not marred by this world. All the other techniques of looking and sounding like the world in order to get the seeker or the person possibly interested in going to church into the door, all of those you keep having to reinvent, and it's tough. It's tough to keep people interested with this old dying world. It's something else altogether not to keep people interested, but to comfort them in sins forgiven and life restored with the things that belong to Christ's church, the honorable, beautiful, higher things, if you will.
Pastor John Solberger is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, Why Do Pastors Wear Vestments? John, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be back on.
When we come back, we'll be spending some time with Pastor Thomas Messer of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. We're going to be talking about an Old Testament feast. He joins us occasionally to visit these Old Testament feasts. Their Old Testament meaning, their New Testament fulfillment. The Feast of Weeks, when we come back.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Christological, Creedal, Confessional. You're listening to Issues, etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The freedom to choose is a slogan tossed around by Planned Parenthood, but for them, choice is okay as long as the choice is abortion. If not, even their own affiliates are denied the right to choose. The Texas Planned Parenthood has resigned their affiliation because they were being forced to provide abortions. They were told to either do abortions or get out. They decided to get out instead of killing unborn babies. Last year, the director of another Texas Planned Parenthood mill resigned. Abby Johnson was pressured to increase her quota of abortions because it generates money. When Abby balked, she was told to get priorities straight because abortion is Planned Parenthood's priority. It's not about choice. It's all about money. It's really telling when they deny real choice to even their own.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.